Okay, we're recording. Okay, so we're on daf base tonight. Okay, we're at the Mishnah. Okay, so the first line on the daf base, 22a, that's at the top line. This is a brishona kol mishra, so the truma mizbeach toreim. Initially, anybody who wanted to do the truma sedeshin, so means the first avod in the base of mikdash in the morning, it's before dawn, is truma sedeshin, where the kohen would go with a shovel and pick up one shovel full of ashes from the Zbeach and then place it to the east of the ramp, and then it would be absorbed in the ground, miraculously, Chazal teach us. So, Barishonim, Mikol Mishpas, Shonim, Zbeach, Torein. Initially, anybody who wanted to do it could do it because it says it was Manshein Merubin, Ratzin, Ba'olim, Bekevesh. But when a lot of people would want to do it, so then they would have sort of like a race, like a competition. They would race up the ramp, call it Kodem and Chabiro, but Arbamo Zacha. Whoever would be first over the finish line would be Zocha. So it means, and the Gemara is going to ask what these words mean, but it's going to come out that the finish line is four Amot from where the ramp meets the Mizbeah. So whoever gets to, like, you know, in other words, like you'd measure four Amot from the top of the ramp, and then that's the finish line. So whoever crosses the finish line first, who gets to Truma Sedeshen, he's Zacha. Mishnein Shavin, and if both were like crossing the finish line at the same time, photo finish, right? So it's like a photo finish. So Hamamuna Omer Lahen Hasviu. So the Mamuna, the person who would be in charge, he would do like a type of goral, a type of sort of lottery. He'd say, stick out your fingers. He says, umayin mos, in other words, they get all the konim together. In other words, the konim are divided into 24 mishmarot. Each mishmar has six batei av. So each day of the week is a different bait av, like family sections. And then on Shabbat, they all serve together. I'll pause in a minute when I get to the end of the Mishnah. So he would say to all the members of the bait av, Hatzpiu, they would gather around. I should have brought my picture book, but they would gather around in a circle, and he would tell the Konim to stick out one or two fingers. And there's a difference, I think, between the way Rashi learns and the way the Rambam learns. The way Rashi learns, this is the way Rav Kahati was quoting it. It was each Kohen, it counts as one. But the way the Rambam is, if he sticks out one finger, it's one, and two fingers, two. And then the Kohen who's doing the lottery, and this question, who would think of this, he would pick a number, but the number would be much larger than the number of konim there. Let's say there are 25 konim, so he'd pick up a number, 173, and then he'd begin counting, and then whoever ends up at that number wins the lottery. He says, Now, we'll learn about this tomorrow. The Gemara learns, in the base of Mikdash, they would never stick the thumb out. The Gemara says that we never stick out the middle finger either. So let's say maybe they're sticking out, let's say a pinky and an index or something like that. So they wouldn't stick out a thumb because a thumb could look like it's another person. In other words, like I could have my fingers here, and then in other words, if I see it's like coming close to me, and the guy could get confused, like somebody else's finger. His Ma'aseh name Shavin. It was an incident where both Kohanim were like neck and neck with one another. And they were running up the ramp. One of them pushed the other one aside. The other one fell and he broke his leg. He says, when the best saw, my goodness, what's happening? Like people's lives are in danger. He says, so they made a takana. Now on, we're not doing any races. We're just doing a pious. Pious is like the lottery with the fingers that we discussed. And then we'll discuss more in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Arba pious over Yusham is that pious over Shon. So there were four lotteries each day in the base of Mikdash. This was the first lottery of the day. Okay. Now let me just see for 1 second. Just give me 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. No one said, let me just take a look. Let me just do this one Rashi, I think. Okay, let's do the Rashi Hatsdiu around the eighth narrow line in Rashi. Everybody have it. Stick out your fingers. Hotziu et botechem like, you know, Hatzpia means like stick out your fingers. Everyone would like show his finger, like it says later on in our parak. They would like be in a circle. The Kohanim would form a circle. The Mamuna would come and remove the hat from one of the Kohanim. He says, "Menu pious machilim out." And from him, the pious would begin. And it's a question among the Mefarshim: did he take off the hat just for a minute? And then one of the Mefarshim wants to say, like, does it make sense? Like, would he bareheaded? Just so he did. In other words, like, did he take it off for a longer period of time or just for a moment? But the point is, the one whose hat he takes off, that's where they're going to begin counting. He says, "Umotzi kol chavichad etzba'o l'minyan." Everybody sticks out their finger for the count. "Umuno meir kol shaminin kalabo huzocha umotzi mipiv minyan."
So the one who's doing the cheshbon, he would say a large number, many much larger than the number konim there. So like nobody could game the system.
He begin counting from the person whose hat he removed.
He says the sovevo lechemone, but those are probably keep going.
And so the one he finishes with, that's the one who wins. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything they did so far? What's up, Fern?
Is this the instance where they crashed on the Kevish and killed each other? Was yeah, so it for Tumah
Hatzeshen? Right, right. Okay, it's wonderful. So in tomorrow's daf, the Gemara learns of Raisa, there was an incident where one Kohen took out a knife and stabbed the other Kohen and killed him. So that's, you know, it's this is like drasha material for rabbis, you know, like
right, but right,
like eagerness to do the mitzvah, you know, like but at the expense of being like Adam Lamakom at the expense of Adam Lechavero and in the extreme,
very much.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, but
any other questions?
When you think about it, we sort of chuckle, but the whole way that it was set up to race to the top of the Kevesh, that. Why didn't they start with the pious to begin with?
All right, let's wait for the Gemara. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. All right, let me see what I have here. Let's see. All right. So I'm going to do a little bit more Gemara, and then we'll stop. Okay. So now we're on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, around, you know, where the Gemara begins. So the Gemara says, "V'hamei kara mai tamalo tkin rabbanan piyasa mei kara." So the Gemara says, I think this is what you were asking, Fern. Why didn't they start off with a lottery? What did they have to do with this whole race, the whole deal? So Savur, they thought, Kivan Davot Lailahi, the Tumas Hadeshan, they thought is like Avodas Laila. In other words, in the Beis Hamikdash, the most important Avodot were during the day. This Tumas Hadeshan is very early in the morning, and it's before dawn, before Alot HaShachar. They thought it's like Avodas Lailahi, Lo Chashivalahu. So the konim are not machshiv. They don't attach tremendous importance to that. Nobody's going to really want to show up. So we don't need. So he says, so they said, whoever shows up, he'll do the Truman Sedeshin. Once they saw people were showing up, and it was leading to sakana, so they were mitaking a pious, a lottery for it. All right, so that's the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, look, but you said that anything that they do at night is not so kashuv, and they didn't think that Konim, you know, would come in mass to do it. But putting the Avarim, the limbs of the Korbanot on the Mizbeah, and the Darim and the fats, that's Avodat Laila. That's done typically after nightfall. He says, "V'takin l'rabbanim piyasa." The chami still had a pious for who would do that. So the Gemara says, "Sofa voted the imamahi." So the Gemara says that was like it's like the tail end of the avodas yom. In other words, you're doing the avodas yom, you bring the korban out, and this is like the final chapter of it. So they attach importance to it. So the Gemara says, "Hainami tila voted the imamahi." So if that's the case, so Trumas Hadeshen I could view as the beginning of the Avodas Yom. In other words, the Gemara said they didn't think there would be Machshavit because of Avodas Laila. But the Gemara says, well, what about, the Barim and Padarim? That was like, you know, finishing up in the Avodas Yom, even though it was at night. So the Gemara says, this is also Tchilas Yom. This is the beginning of the morning of Avoda. How do I know? The Amar B'Yochanan, Kiddush B'Dav Truman Hadeshen.
And what says Kiddush Adav means, like, all the Kohanim, every day, whenever they come to the Beis HaMikdash to do Avoda, they have to wash their hands and their feet. That's from the Kiyor. They come in and they make a beeline to the Kiyor, which is the laver. And again, they're barefoot. You know, all the Kohanim are barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. And they would wash their hands and their feet from the Kiyor. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kiddush Adav, and it means Raglav, the Truman Adeshen, that if a person washes his hands and feet for Truman Adeshen, after daybreak, he doesn't have to do it again. Now, it means Shekvar Kiddush B'Tchilat Avoda. Now, Rashi explains, let's see the Rashi on this. The last narrow line in Rashi, he says, Im lo yatsa min hamikdash, if he didn't leave the base of Mikdash in between, B'Tchilat Rebbe Damar B'Shechitat Kachim, Lina Moelet B'Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. In other words, Rebbe holds, this is on a Drabanan level, that Lina, in other words, once it stays overnight, he's got to wash his hands and feet again. That's the way Rebbe holds. He says, Modahu, the Mikrot Gever at Safra, lo pasal Lina. So he holds after daybreak, he holds the Lina doesn't pasal it. But he says that if he was Makadish Yadayim Baraglayim, Betruma Sedeshin, he's good for the rest of the day. He says, the Maharin Sri Makadish is for Kiddush Mechilat Avoda. Because he's already Mekadosh from the beginning of the days of Avoda. So normally it means at daybreak, he needs new Kiddush Adayim Raglayim because his Lina is post-sale with it. If it stays overnight, it passes it, like other things in the base of Mikdash become possible with Lina. So on a Drabanan level, with Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, also it's possible with Lina. But if he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for the Trumas Adeshen, he's good. He's good for the rest of the day because that's the beginning of the daytime avoda. So that's a raya that the Trumas Adeshen is considered, the Rabbi Yochanan says, the beginning of the daytime avoda. So the Gemara says, Ema shekvar kiddush mitchila la avoda. You should say, no, he didn't say it's beginning of like daytime avoda, but he was mitkadesh, you know, from initially for avoda. In other words, he came into the base of Mikdash, he washed his hands and his feet to do avoda, and that'll carry him through. So it means that the Chachamim thought that the Kohanim would not compete for this because they thought it's an Avodas Laila. Here, just give me one second. He says, in other words, they view it, in other words, the people perceive it as a daytime avoda because it's performed a short time before daybreak, but it's not really a daytime avoda. So Mamilo, the Chachamim didn't think that the Kohanim would compete for it because it's not really a daytime avoda. All right, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ika da Amri, others say, Me kara savur, came into Ika ona shena, lo atu. They thought that since it's like people find it difficult to get up in the morning, nobody's going to show up. So came into chasu ta atu, once they saw people were showing up, but ka'aku namili de sakana, it was leading to danger, takinu la rabbanam piyasa. So they made a pious, a lottery for it. So the Gemara says, "Bare Ivarim Darim the Ika Onas Shena, but the Kinu La Rabbanim Piyasa." What about the Ivarim Darim? Is also that goes late into the night, and nevertheless they had a pious. So Shani Migna Mimekam. It's nice, Klal. It's different when the difficulty in staying up late at night is easier than the difficulty of getting up early in the morning. You know what I mean? In other words, if you have to stay up till 11 or 12 o'clock at night, it's difficult. But that's easier than, let's say, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So the Chachamim thought that we don't have to make a pious for it. You know, whoever shows up, he'll do Trumas Hadeshim. We're not expecting a mob of people at that hour. That's what they thought. Okay, let's just pause for a second and see what we came up with here. So the two answers the Gemara gave were that since it's a Avodas Laila, it's an Avoda at the night, the Chachamim didn't think that people would show up, but then they did show up and they made a pious. Or the Chachamim thought that the same thing. They thought it's early in the morning, but but the Ivarim and Pedarim. So again, it's an avodah slide up. The Ivarim and Pedarim, that's the end of the avodas during the day. That's an avodas from the Yom. But the Tumas Hadeshen, that's not part of the avodas Yom. So they didn't think people would come. And the second answer was that it's so difficult to get up early in the morning. And even though they would stay up late for Ivarim and Pedarim, that's easier than getting up early in the morning. And they didn't think people would show up. But then once people showed up, and they saw there was a sakana, they created a pious for it. Okay, whose questions comes to us on anything I did so far?
Either way, it was a gross miscalculation.
Well, I don't know what to... I wouldn't put it quite that way, but they saw that it was not working out well. All right, any other questions? All right. And
when they said that waking up is harder than staying up late, was that what they considered a medical physiological fact or a clinical observation? I mean, why... It depends on the person, I would imagine.
Well, let's just take a look. Let's just see. If you look at Rashi, the second wide line downstairs, Shani Migna Mimekam, Noach Ugam on a date Shana Meinav. It's easier for a person to like rouse himself, like keep from going to sleep. Midalech Lishon at Sof Halaila, they would stay up late at night. I don't know if it's psychological or physiological, but I can tell you, when I deal with slichos, like it's like some people, I can't get up to, you know, do sleep. We don't get up so early for slichos. Some people like, I can't get up early for slichos, but they prefer to do it like late at night, you know, so that's the piece with that. All right. I'm going to go further and then we'll take pause. We'll discuss some things. Okay. All right, now let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "V'takanta l'ha'gisa havoy." So the way Rashi understands it, though it's an atypical usage of the words, is that the reason why they ended up creating a pious for Tumas Hadeshen? It was made for the following reason: "V'tanya misha zachah b'Tumas Hadeshen zachah b'sidur maracha u'shnei gezirei etzim." Whoever would be Zocha with Truman Sedeshin, whoever would be assigned Truman Adeshin, he would also get to arrange like the wood on the Maracha, on the Mizbeach, and to place the snake Zireyes in the two blocks of wood there. So he says, so because they had all these other sort of, like treats, you know, like wonderful things with it, so the people were competing for it, that they wanted to do. So that's why they had to have a pious. So Amar Rashi, Shtei Tekanot Havu. Rashi says there were two Tekanot. Mei Karasavur Lo Atu. Initially they thought nobody's showing up for this thing, like we said initially. Came in the Chazit to Ka'atu, Vatu Nami L'Dei Sakana. They showed the people were showing up, and they're leading to Sakana. Tekinu La Piyasa. Then they were Metakin a pious, the lottery. Came in the Tekinu La Piyasa. Then once they were Metakin a lottery, Lo Atu, nobody showed up again. Amri Miyamar Dimitravilan. This is, what am I going to get up at 4 a.m. for a lottery? I don't even know if I'm going to win this lottery, you know, so leave it. Hadar Takinulu, Mishabatruman Adeshan, he's gonna see Marochav Shnegazirate them. They said we have to like incentivize it a little bit. So we gave him a little bit more with it. So you get to do the Trumas Adeshan, you get to arrange the wood on the Mizbeach and place the Shnegazirate them on the Mizbeach. So people would come. And be part of the lottery. Okay, everybody good with this?
But if they would have divided up the tasks more and had more, you know, more lotteries, then each person would have had a better shot of getting something.
Well, I don't understand what you're saying. We'll repeat again.
In other words, they said, why should we wake up? Because we don't have a good shot because it's a lottery.
Right.
No, let's say there were four things attached to it. If you had four lotteries, your chances would multiply by four.
No. So the Gemara says there were four lotteries, but each lottery is like from scratch. In other words, let's say the 60 Kohanim on duty today.
Right.
So who gets to do like these special treats? So that's the way it's being divided up.
Oh, so you're getting up for four lotteries. Not for one.
Well, no, you're getting up for this. Is the first lottery. Then the second lottery might be at 8 o'clock, and the third lottery at 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like the lotteries are, as the avodah is continuing on during the day. You understand? The lotteries are to assign different tasks in the Beis HaMikdash. So right. the first lottery is for the Trumas HaDeshen. And right. then the second lottery, we'll see. It'll be maybe related to the Korban Tamid, and the third lottery, and the fourth lottery.
So, but when you got Truma Hadeshen, was it just Truma Hadeshen or some other chores that went along with
they
it?
They said initially it was just Truma Hadeshen, and they saw that people didn't want to get up for it. So they added on that if you get you win the lottery for Truma Hadeshen, you get to do the Sidur Maracha and Shnei Gezei Re'etzim.
And I'm saying to you that instead of one pious, for those three things to do, if you had three, you would increase your chance of winning the pious to three times that, because there were three things to do.
Well, I'm losing it. How are you increasing your chance? You know, in other words, you mean 60 people with three lotteries. So
as opposed to 60 with one that had three things.
So each one would have like more.
120 instead of one.
Yeah, but they're focusing on Truma Hadeshen. We got to get past Truma Hadeshen. That's the first thing we need done. So if nobody's showing up at the Truma Hadeshen, it's not working out well. You know what I mean? All right. Now, let me just say a few other things, and then we'll take it down from there. All right. Let's see. We got a whole bunch of things here. All right. Let me just say what?
I was going to say Truma Hadeshen was a big discuss, because first of all, you were dressed up in the regardum, in special regardum. You weren't. It wasn't you weren't wearing jeans to take out the Truma Hadeshen. You were dressed up in the regardum of a special regardum to take out the Truma Hadeshen, because it was a tremendous chus to do it. There's a lot of hidden things there with the Truma Hadeshen. And second of all, I saw one of the Sfarim. It says the Truma Hadeshen was like saying that, you know, yesterday's day is over and now we have to start a new day. I mean, you don't rest on your laurels. Yesterday's business is over. Now we have to start a new, you know, now we start a new day.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Now, Laura, let me just do a little piece here from the Aladaf, and I'll do some other pieces.
Mr. Kirsch, if it was such a metzia, they would not have to do a pious, okay?
I understand that, but still okay. It was a metzia.
You they had to do a pious because okay. They were killing each other.
You were dressed up in special.
They were killing all the killing. It was a Mishnah. Of course,
maybe a lot of the people didn't realize it at the time. Them? But especially the people that
anyway.
All right.
Sorry, Rabbi.
It's okay. I got to move on now. Now the Aladaf, he talks about how the lottery was done. So so we said if there was a tie, they would do this pious. Everybody has to mute themselves. Let's go back to muting themselves. Let's go back one second. Okay, everybody's muted. All right. So the Mishnah, according to the din of the Mishnah, this is going back to the original Takana, there's a race. Whoever wins the race gets to Truma Hadeshen. If two people cross the finish line at the same time, then they do the pious. So he points out here, the Rashi explains that all the Kohanim who competed for the mitzvah would be asked to put out a finger. A supervisor would pick a random number and count from a random starting point, and it goes through. He says the Gurus Ari asks why Rashi says that all the Kohanim would be included in the finger lottery as opposed to just the first two co-winners of the race. In other words, I guess he's figuring maybe a number of people are racing to get to the top. And now we winnowed it down to the last two who crossed the finish line at the same time. So why does everybody get to participate in this pious? Let's just do the two sort of like tied winners. Let them do the pious. The other Kohanim should be ruled out since they lost the race. So the Tosfos Yontov explains that a finger lottery with only two participants would be exposed to partiality because the supervisor, means the Mamuna, could easily determine the outcome from the beginning. If he picks an odd number, the count would end with the starting point. If he picks like an even number, it would end with the other one. Hence, for the sake of fairness, we must include all the Kohanim in the lottery. That's what the Tosfos Yontov says. The Magen Avraham, as explained by the Machzei Shekel, rejects this answer, arguing that it's possible to organize a fair lottery even with only two people. We could have someone other than the supervisor select the number and not announce it until the supervisor chooses the starting coin. In other words, somebody is going to pick a number. We won't announce the number. And then alternatively, We could use another type of lottery in which cheating by the supervisor is not possible, such as selecting numbers from a box. The Magen Avraham consequently deduces from Rashi that whenever any selection process fails to produce a single winner, it is declared void and must be repeated. For example, if a lottery is made whereby the winner is determined according to the highest number picked from a box, and two people end up with the same highest number, lottery must be repeated with all the original participants. The second lottery should not be between just two co-winners. That's the way the Magen Avraham says it. The Me'il Tzedakah agrees with Magen Avraham's approach to the Mishnah, but disagrees with the comparison to lotteries. In other words, he agrees that in a Kinnah we're going to go to do like a whole deal again. He maintains that an ordinary lottery that successfully narrows down the competition to two people is valid and should not be repeated with the other participants who drew lower numbers. So if you started off with a lottery and now you have just two people somehow won this lottery, so we'll limit it to the two people. He explains that the case of Mishnah is different because the race was not a lottery. It is a means of circumventing a lottery by awarding the Mishnah to the first Kohen to arrive at the top of the Mizbeah. Therefore, when two Kohenim arrive simultaneously, the race method is abandoned and we employ a regular lottery. We got to go to the lottery. The lottery then must include everyone because the race is not a lottery. Okay, now let me just mention there's a different topic. There's a truth from the Binyan Shlomo. The Binyan Shlomo was a Rav Shlomo Kohen of Vilna. So there's a din when it comes to Slichot that the Ramah brings down that there are makomot, the minhag is the one who davens Slichot davens all the tefillot of the day. So the person leads the sibur for Slichot, he'll daven Shachris Mincha, and there's a question which Maariv he'll do, but it seems like it could be according to one version he'll even do some want to say the night before and some want to say it's that day's, but some want to say it's as in Darki Moshe, which is the Ramah's commentary on the tour. He says the Maariv from the night before. So there's one idea that it's like Makdil Mitzvah Omnim Lo Gemor. If you begin a mitzvah, we tell you to complete it, but it's hard to understand what shaykhus that has. How is doing davening slichos completing the mitzvah mincha? And in Makdil Mitzvah, how would it relate to the Maariv from the night before? So the Binyan Shlomo says that we give him those tefillot, that's like the same thing as our Gemara. He mentions our Gemara. That it's like a pizzui, it's like we want to incentivize getting up to daven slichot. Now, he does say at the end of his tshuva that's only when only the slichot, in other words, to do slichot, in other words, the tefillot are more chashuv than the slichot. Shachris, mincha, those are all more important than the slichot. So to incentivize somebody getting up, and he's got to get up early also, but he's going to daven for the tzibur. So he says that's only, he says, in other words, when the shots be motzi the tzibur b'slichot or b'tfila. In other words, everybody would listen to the shlich tzibur, and they would be yotze with his tefila. Then he wants to say those dina would apply, not necessarily today, but you get the idea that you see like here in the Gemara, it mentions that they incentivize the avod on the base of Mikdash, you know, with the Trumas Hadeshen. And I've mentioned this before, but like Trumas Hadeshen is a sefer by one of the Rishonim, which the Ramah usually quotes very often. And he had, in other words, he wrote a sefer of Shas and Shuvas. And the number of Shuvas he has is like the Gematria of Deshen. Deshen is 354. He's got 354 Shuvas. And that's the Trumas Hadeshen. All right, let me just got another piece here, but let me see what this other piece is. One second. All right, you know what? Let me finish the daf, and if we have time, we'll do this other piece. Okay. All right, let's keep going. We're in a Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay. So the Gemara says it was Vanshei Merubin v'chulei. So we said that if there were a lot of people, so they would all run up the ramp. And whoever, in other words, so initially whoever wanted to do Trumas Hadeshen could do it, but if there were more than one contender, they would race up the ramp. So Amar Apap Shigli Arba Amot Da'ara Lo. So when the Mishnah says Arba Amot, the Gemara is not clear which Dalet Amot it means. The ramp is 32 amot in length, but when the Mishnah says that call it Kodim Chavir Arba Amot Zacha. Whoever like preceded his friend Arba Amot won. So which is Arba Amot? So Rapapa says it's clearly not the Arba Amot that's on the ground. In other words, before you get onto the ramp, he says, Ratzin for only Mekemishna. Because the Mishnah says that they would be running and going up the ramp. So the Mishnah says that. He says, "Vizmanchem ruim ratzav olam bekevesh kol kol mechavir ba arba amot zaha." So they can't go up, be running up the ramp if it's the dalet amot that are on the ground, you know, like from you know before the ramp. He says, "Kamaita nami lo." It can't be the first four amot. He figures maybe it's like four amot from the beginning of the ramp, and then that's the. He says, "Ratzin ba olam bekevesh tanan," because the Mishnah says they would run up the ramp. Then it says whoever would you know be win. Yeah, so he doesn't figure that it's like the first Dalet Amot. The Beni Beni Nami Lo, he says he doesn't think there's a point midway up the ramp. He says the Loma Simon Milton, like not clearly demarcated, you know what I mean? It's not like a clear thing. So Pshitali, the Gabi Bizbeachanan. So he concludes, Rav Papa says. Is the Arba Amod? He means that Arba Amod, right before you hit the Mizbeach. So by Rabbi Papa, Rabbi Papa posed the question: Arba Moshe Amru, Bahade Ami Yisod VaAma Sovev, from page Odilma Barmi Ami Yisod VaAma Sovev. So if you remember, the Mizbeach it tapers as it goes up. So at the base of the Mizbeach, you have like this lip. Now the lip is the Yisod. It's an Ama by an Ama. Now it really does not exist on the southern side or only on a small part of the southern side, but there's the place where the lip would be, and then you have like this ledge. In other words, the Mizbeach is like tapering, getting narrower as it gets over. So when we say Arba Amod, we mean Arba Amod besides those two Amod. In other words, so is it Arba Amod? In other words, once you get to where the lip would be, then it would be like six Amod from the Mizbeach. You know, because we're going to give an Amma for the Yisod and an Amma for the Sovev, it's the ledge. Or is it just Dalet Amot, you know, right before the Mizbeach? So the Gemara leaves that as a take. The Gemara is not able to resolve that. All right, let me go on because I want to make sure we finish the daf. Okay, so on the second line on Amud Beis, we might use name Shavin Muno Meir Lahemas Vivahulei if they were, you know, both. You know, like the photo finish. So the Mamuna would say, stick out your fingers. Tana to under Brisa, Hotziwetz Botechem Luminyan. The Brisa says, like, he would direct them, stick out your fingers for a count. So the Gemara says, Venamninu Ludidu, why does he counting the fingers? Why don't we count the Konim? So the Gemara says, Messiah Rabbi Yitzchak. So this supports Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Yitzchak, Asulam Noda Yisrael, Afilu Dvar Mitzvah. One's not allowed to count the Jewish people, even if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah. He says, Dechtiv, Ifdei Babazek, it says in Shmuel Aleph by Shaul HaMelech, this is when he goes to war with Nahash HaAmoni. This is right after he becomes king. So he assembles an army, and he has to know how many soldiers he has. This is Vayif Kedem Babazek. He counted them Babazek. So Babazek means, if you look at Rashi, the third white line, Shom Shivrei Charasim, like shards, like broken pieces of pottery. Natal Kol Kavakar Charis V'shlichlof Anavamana Charasim. Everybody took like a broken piece of pottery and threw it in front of whoever was doing the count, and then they counted up the pieces. And I think it came out to several hundred thousand soldiers. It says Makdav Ravashi, Imaidahai Bazek listen to the Mivzaku. How did you figure out that Bezek or Bazek would be the sofa? So it means something which is shattered. But Dilma Shma Dematahu, maybe that's the name of the place. Kidakiv Paim Tsuum. That Adoni Bezek Bebazek is what the whole pasuk reads. They found Adoni Bezek Bebazek, and in the first parak in Sefer Shoftim, you may recall, with Adoni Bezek. Remember, Adoni Bezek was the one who would chop off the thumbs and toes of his enemy. Remember, right? So they found Adoni Bezek Bebazek. So there's a place Bezek. So maybe when the pasuk says by the name Bebazek, that he counts them in this place Bezek. Not that he counts them with broken shards, with shards. So Elamei Hafa, so from here, from the following place, so you bring the proof. Yishma Sha'ul Ra'am, that Sha'ul summoned the people. This is for war with Amalek. By Yifkidein Bar Tla'im, he tapped them with sheep. So, and Rashi brings down the fourth wide line. Told everybody to take a sheep, and they brought the sheep. And there also, I think there was like 200,000 soldiers. So it's quite a few sheep. All right. So anyway, the point is that you're not allowed to count people. And I think it's like a person's more than a number, things like that. So Amar Blazar, Philomonet Yisrael, Over Balav. So Reb Lazar says, whoever counts the Jewish people transgresses the law. Shenimar b'yam espar b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'yam shel yimad. This is the Haftorah. This is the Haftorah for Parshas Bamidbar. Roshayim is, it has a vision of the future time, like in time of Mashiach. He says the number of the Jews will be k'chol ha'yam, like the sand by the sea, that the Pshuto Shel Mikra that can't be counted. But the way he's darshaning it out, ashelo yimad, that you're you know, enjoined not to count. Rav Nachman Yisrael says he transgressed two lavim. Shenemar lo yimad lo yisafer. The whole pasuk says lo, it can't be counted like twice. The two lavim. This is a lav. Obviously, it's a pasuk in the Nevi'im, so it's not a lav deraisa, whatever it is. And the Rabbi Ari Leibowitz was counted. Was quoting from, I think, Rabbeinu Abraham in Ahar. I don't know. He said he made that point. And all right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Now, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan Rami. So Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, Rabbi Yonatan poses the following contradiction of Sukkim. Tivayam is Parbin Israel Kholayam. Says the Jews will be like a finite number. They'll be like the sands by the sea, but it's a large number, but it's finite. And it says that it can't be counted as an infinite number. So is it a finite number or an infinite number? So the Gemara says, "Lo kash." There's no contradiction between the psukim. Chan b'zman shesrol osim ritzon oshel makom. When they do ritzon Hashem, then they can. Then they're like they can't be counted. Chan b'zman she'ain osim ritzon oshel makom. They don't do the ritzon Hashem. Then they're kechol hayam. And the article quoted from one of the parshim. I think from the Eitz Yosef. 1 second. Let's take a look. Yeah, this is in footnote 9. So they're saying that it could be that when they're doing Ritzon Hashem, they can't be counted. It means not a quantitative count, but a qualitative count. In other words, when they're doing Ritzon Hashem, like their worth is like manifold, you know. So I can't figure out how many there are because they're fantastic. They're worth so many people. Now, Gordon the Gemara, he says. The asterisk around 8 lines above break. Rabbi Amar Mishum Reb Abba Yosef Ben Dostai Lo Kasha Kan Bidei Adam means Bidei Adam, then that's like can't be counted at all. Kan Bidei Shemayim. Bidei Shemayim, they could count the whole Hayam. Okay, let me pause for a question. Who's a question? 60 seconds for questions. What's up?
And yet, when we came down from Mitzrayim, we were Shivim Nefesh.
Right.
There was counting involved in that.
Well, it doesn't say they counted it, just the Torah tells us how many people there were. And right. What? Right. So Eddie says that they everybody's name was listed, but they said in the R school, like the Torah says, you know, Kitisa Rosh Bena Yisrael, you're not allowed to count. So why don't we quote that pasuk? So the R school
says, that's the Masitah Shekel, right?
Right. So the R school said, or one answer the R school says, you might think that, like, first, that might just be at that time, not to the count, but also, whereas for a mitzvah, I might have thought it's different. So he's saying here, even though it's for a mitzvah, like destroying Amalek, you're still not on the count. What's up, PSA? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so Rabbi Leibowitz was talking about that today, but it seems like he says Kishat Rosh Bnei Yisrael. Accounting is like the head. In other words, if you count like another body part, apparently that doesn't do it. If you're counting a hand, it would not be a problem. If you're counting a hand, not a problem. All right, I got to run though. Let me keep moving. All right, so running out of time, I have to pose all questions till we get to the end. Okay, now the Gemara says. Okay, we're on 6 lines above where it gets wide. So Amar Rav Nihilai Bar Idi Amar Shmuel Kevan Shnit Madan Dam Parnas Al Tzibur Mitasher. When somebody's appointed like for a leadership position over the Tzibur, he becomes wealthy. Mikarchi Vayfnei Babazek. initially by Shaul when he first became king, so he cast them with these pot shards. And later on, he said, take the royal sheep and count them. In other words, like he's a wealthy man. So the goodness of the Dilma may be true, but maybe the sheep were their sheep. How did you know it was Shaul's sheep? If it was their sheep, was why does the Torah tell me what he counted with? So the Torah is trying to teach you something, that you become wealthy when you become a leader, or the Navi is trying to teach me something. So if it's telling me their sheep, it wouldn't be Shaya. All right, now, because we're having brought up the topic, we're moving slightly, but with Shaul and Amalek, because we said, you know, by Fidem Batlaim, that was by Amalek, so we're shifting over to that. So by Arab Banachal, he went to war in the valley with Shaul with Amalek. But Amramani al Iski Nachal, that he contended or he had an argument about things that related to the Nachal, the Shashmalak sparkle to Shaul, when Hashem said to Shaul, go and smite Amalek, Amar, Shaul said, that's the Nachal. In other words, when somebody is dead between two cities, so you bring this calf, you know, to the Nachal Eitan. So he says, the Torah says, one person's killed, I don't know who murdered him, so I have to have this whole mitzvah in the Torah to bring Egla Rufa, decapitated calf. So all these people are being asked to kill from the Amalekim. How much more am I going to be guilty for killing them? And if men had done wrong with Amalek, what did the animals do? And if the adults sin, what about the Ketanim? What did they do? So the way the article said it is that therefore he felt he had it. In other words, he did kill all these people. He did kill the adults. He left the Gog, but he killed the adults. Most of the behemoths he killed, he just left like the choicest behemoths for Korbanot, ostensibly. And he did kill the kids, although there's some of them are spoken about this. But the point being, the way the article was saying, that he felt he needed kapara to bring Korbanot because he was doing wrong. So Yatzab Koba Amrlo, so Abakko came out and said to him, Alfi Tzadik Harbe, don't be such a tzaddik. In other words, like here, you like the Ribono Shel Olam is a mitzvah. Don't be such a tzaddik. Like you've got your own cheshbon to be more of a tzaddik than a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't be such a tzaddik. He says, Vishdash Amrlo Shaul Adoeg, when Shaul said Doeg, Sobato Pagaba Konim, you know, turn around and strike the Konim with no Yira Konim that had given some support to David HaMelech. Don't be such a rasha. You know, the Gemara says it, apparently not here, but I remember the Gemara says that whenever a person is merache b'makom shu tzirith liyot asari, if you're merciful in a place where you should be cruel, like with Shaul, the sof nasa asari b'makom shu tzirith liyot rachman. You become asari in a place where you should be rachman. In other words, he had such rachmanas on Amalek, like he ended up being asari to Novi Yerakonim. There's more to explain on this, but I got to run. We're running out of time. So the Gemara says on the second white line, Amrahuna, Kamalo Kali, Lomarkish, Gavra, Damari, Sia. He says, like, how great, like, you're not sick, you don't feel like lousy or depressed. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like, likes you, or helps you out. Shaul Ba'afat. Shaul did one of Eira, and that counted against him, and he was history. Ba'altalo. David, Bishtayim, David did two of Eira, Lo Altalo, and he's still around for another day. Shaul ba'achat ma'hi, what was Shaul's Aveira? Ma'aseh da'agag. He left Agag alive, and then he got replaced as king. So the Gemara says, Va'ika ma'aseh d'novi yirakonim. But what about the incident with novi yirakonim? He did that as well. So the Gemara says, Ma'aseh da'agag k'tiv, nicham t'kim lachti et Shaul ha'melech. After he did the incident with Agag, so Hashem says, I regret having him as a king. So he was finished already. He says, David Bishtayim Maininhu. So all the two Averot that David HaMelech did, the Uriah with the Hasata. He sinned with Uriah Chiti, he said that Uriah should go into the heat of the battle, and with Hasata, he was induced at the end of his life to do a census. So the Gemara says, Va'ikanami Masa de Batsheva. They count Uriah as separate from Masa de Batsheva. In other words, Masa de Batsheva, he's having relations with her. And Masa de Uriah, he sends Uriah into the battle, so he should die. So he says, "Va'ikanami Masa de Batsheva." He says, "Hatam iparumine." So with Bat Sheva, he didn't get like a pass on it. They punished him. So Natan Nabi comes to David HaMelech and he said, you know, you remember the whole story. He tells this parable that there was this wealthy person. He had a zillion sheep. And then somebody came to his house and he was a guest. And so the wealthy guy, instead of shechting one of his sheep, he takes the poor neighbor's sheep. So David HaMelech says, the guy, he's terrible. And he should pay back. He's Ben Mavet. He's deserving of death. And he should pay back four times the sheep that he stole. So Natan Nabi says, you're the person. So he says, Yishleim Arbatayim, Yelid Amnon Tamar Ba'Avshalom. So there are four incidents where David, he loses a child with Bathsheba. The first child dies. Then Amnon got killed. And then Tamar was raped. That's the daughter. And Avshalom also got killed. He says, so Hatam Nami Iparomine. So in other words, this is, Rav Huna was making a cheshbon. He says, like, Shaul, he had one Avera, he got punished, he got history. David HaMelech had two Avera, and he wasn't history. So the Gemara says, he's got another Avera as well. He had the other Avera he was punished for. So the Gemara says, Hatam Nami Iparomine. He says, but by the census, he was also punished. There was a pestilence that struck the Jewish people from the morning to the set time. So the Gemara says, you're right, there was a punishment, but not in his body. In other words, his body wasn't punished. So the Gemara says, but with Bathsheba, he also wasn't punished in his body. So lie, he parmi gufe. He says, no, he was punished. The Amar of Yehuda Marab, Shishachar Shim Nitzarei David, the David HaMelech had Sarat for 6 months, who partially met a Sanhedrin and the Thalkaim and a Shechina. But the Sanhedrin separated themselves from him and the Shechina also departed from him. The Tivi Yeshuvuli Yereachav Yodei Edotecha, the Pasukim Hilim, where David HaMelech says, let you're the ones who fear you and know your aid at your testimonies, meaning the members of Sanhedrin should return to me. You've restored to me the happiness of your salvation. It means that the Shechina, because if he's not a state of Sasson, he doesn't have Shechina. So he was punished for that. So the Gemara says, Amarav, Kibel David Lashon Hara. So what about David HaMelech, who's also Makabel Lashon Hara? So Rav Huna didn't mention that. So Kishmul the Amar lo Kibel David Lashon Hara. There was an incident at the end with Mephibosheth and Siva when David HaMelech is being chased from Yerushalayim. So Tziva, Mephibosheth was Yonatan's son, who was Shaul HaMelech's grandson. So Tziva gives a report to David HaMelech that Mephibosheth is ecstatic that you're being deposed. And then David HaMelech says, you know what, his entire estate I'm awarding to you, Tziva, the servant. Then he comes back, so Mephibosheth comes to him, and he's got he's unkempt and his clothes are lousy because he says he was in Avelis. David HaMelech had been deposed and now he's back. But the Gemara says, Shmuel the Amar lo kibel David Lashon Hara. So Rav Huna was holding like Shmuel, who was not mekabel Lashon Hara, meaning he made an assessment based on the facts that led him to believe, aside from what Siva said, that Mephibosheth was not loyal to him. Rav Nami Damar kibel David Lashon Hara. And even according to Rav, who says that the David HaMelech did accept the Lashon Hara, he was punished. The Amar of Yudam Rav, the Shash Amar of David Mephibosheth, when David said Mephibosheth, Amar Kitab Tziba Atak Lakuda Sadem, I said, you and Tziba will divide up the estate, the field. He says, Yatzaba Kova Amar lo Rechavam Yiravam Yechak Kuda Malkut. Rechavam Yiravam will divide up the kingdom, and that's just as bad as being punished with the Yirgur. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Benchana Sha'ul b'malcho. So we normally translate in the first year of his reign. Literally means he's 1 year old when he's reigning. So Amar Rav Huna k'ben shana shlotam tam chay. He was like a 1 year old who hadn't yet tasted aveira. And he was tzaddik when he began his melucha. Matkalor of Nachbar Yischaf emek ben shana shmeluchach b'tid b'tzoa. Why don't you say like a 1 year old that's all for schmutz with all this dirt, you know, like soiling? Why does he like in melucha? I can say it the other way around. So Rav Nachman, who was in Baal Nemra, in his dream, he sees the Malachim, who were giving him terror, scaring him. So Amar, and an eighth of the Femat Mocha Ulben Kish, He says, like, I humble myself before you, the bones of Shaul ben Kish. And as he realized, he misspoke. Again, he sees his terrible malach in his dream, with terror. He said, I humble myself before you, Shaul ben Kish, the king of Israel. And then that worked out well. So I'm almost done. So Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, why didn't the monarchy of Shaul last? Because he didn't have any genealogical flaws in his family. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yehud Tzadak, Imaminim Paras al Tzibur, we don't appoint somebody to be a leader on the Tzibur, unless he has like this like box of Shratzim, like crawling creatures, like hanging from behind. It means he has some genealogical flaw. So if a person gets arrogant, we say, oh, turn around, like see the skeletons in your closet. So, why was Shaul punished? Because he's mochel on his kavod. When Shaul is being appointed, he's like these people who weren't like so from said, oh, what is he going to save us? And they like they debased him. And they didn't give him a gift. And he, Shaul, was quiet. He didn't respond. He says that Nachash Amuni then attacked Klal Yisrael. Shaul saves him. And afterward, everybody says, you know, who are those people who said, who is Shaul? And Shaul says, if you look at Rashi, he says, Lo yimat ish hayom hazeh. Shaul says, nobody's dying today. I'm not killing anybody. So the Gemara takes it like he was a little bit too easy with people, and then I'll talk for 1 minute but we have time. So Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yehud Tzadak Kol Tamid Chacham Shein Uno Kamin Oter Kinacha Shein Uno Tamid Chacham. He says if a Tamid Chacham doesn't like take vengeance, like revenge, he's not a Tamid Chacham. He says you shouldn't do that. So well, that will clarify more tomorrow. Let me just briefly. We said that I thought for sure you were going to ask me. Maybe you would have asked me this, Fern. Is why does Shaul get
right
with one Avera, and David gets to you know be around for more? So
isn't there another Gemara where we learned that if you think that it was an Avera with Batsheva, you're Ela Utoeh?
Right. That the Gemara Masechet Shabbat says Kol Omer David Chata Eino Toeh. It means he didn't sin literally the way if you read the Pesukim, it sounds like he committed adultery. So ad kdekach that he didn't do, but what he did wasn't so great. In other words, he didn't sin the way the psukim would reading and translate would lead you to believe. But just in a minute, because I have to wrap it up. So one thing you could say is that David does a tshuva when these things happen. Shaul doesn't really do tshuva. So the only thing he does say to Shmuel chatati, but David really. He does tshuva, so that could be one difference. Another difference could be that Shaul, like, and this is what the Gemara intimates at the end. Shaul, he gives in to the people. People say, you know, this is. He says, you know, that they were pressing me. They said, you know, we want to bring korban out, so I gave in to them. So that's a fatal flaw for a king. You know, in other words, when you're giving in to the, you have to have leadership to say this is the way we're going. And so David, whatever his flaws were. We're not in that area. And then here the Gemara said at the end, in the Chinami, that he says, Meshamachal Kvodo. He was too much of a marshmallow. The Gemara takes it, like, even though it's good to be Mochel, like the Gemara learns in Kiddushin, but Hamelech Shamachal Kvodo on your Kvodo Machul. Some people's not good to be Mochel on your Kvodo, based on your position. You know, I have more to say, but we just have really run out of time.
I can say something. You said before, you said, "Kol amarachem al reshaim sofo mitachzer lechafim ipesha," and I saw here it's a quote from the Meiri.
I remember a quote from Chazal, not exactly what you're saying, but either way, it's the same idea.
But okay. I think this is where the leadership is, and that's a liberal leadership. Kol amarachem al reshaim
sofo mitachzer lechafim ipesha. Yosef wants to say something. What's up, Yosef? He was punished for Agag, but Nov was, it was after Agag, yeah. Hashem says, I don't want him as king. Yeah, so I mean, how does that fit into the whole thing? So you could, I'm saying, the way I was saying, it relates to the same thing. In other words, like, because he was a marshmallow, that's why he, well, Agag was a little bit different, but the article here, the article was comments on this. Okay, one second, I'll explain to everybody in 1 minute, and then I got to wrap it up. He says, in footnote 58, Yosef's asking, how does the bimocha on his kavod fit in with Agag? Because we said he had the other thing. He says, we know Shaul lost the monarchy for sparing Agag. Why was he led into that situation in the first place? When it was truly worthy, it was protected by divine providence from circumstances of trial and temptation. So that's why he was vulnerable to it. All right, I got to go. Okay, one second. Let me just end the recording. One second. Let me go back. 1 second.
Wasn't Shaul Rodev
nice the recording
first. David at the end?
Well, one second.
He was running after him. He wanted to kill him. That's not an Avera?
Rodev was in the middle of talking.